Community Matters, solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference.
Hey, it's Megan from The Morning Show on your encouraging WPER. This morning, I am excited to welcome back Nicole from Freedom Society again to the show because we have some updates on things that Freedom Society is doing in our community, especially now that some of the lockdown restrictions have been lifted. So good morning, Nicole. Welcome. Could you just start off by giving us a brief description of what Freedom Society is?
Freedom Society is a tea and gift shop. All of our gifts are made by survivors of human trafficking, and so we help to create sustainable employment opportunities. And then we give all the profits of our tea room portion of our space to child survivors.
That's incredible. And can I ask, what prompted you to start this in the first place? What was it that motivated you to do something?
So we were actually living in England, and we had started a house of prayer in the town where both my husband and my families had immigrated to the U.S. from a couple of generations before us. And so I was discipling a group of young women, and one of those young women had just come back from a season with YWAM, where she was serving in Thailand with a freedom business there. And it just really gotten her world rocked. And at the time, this was 12 years ago, I knew very little about human trafficking. You know, it has become a topic that we talk about a lot more today than we were back then. And so she just really had it on her heart to do a justice watch of prayer. And so for 3 years, a group of women, of which I was one, prayed over this issue. And we really just tried to posture our hearts before God in the place of saying, Jesus, what are you crying out before the throne, before the Father, over this issue and over these people you dearly love? In the process of that 3 years, had India in particular laid on our hearts. And so kind of towards the end, about 2.5 years in, a group of us did a trip to India and just traveled and met with anti-trafficking organizations all across India and asked the same question, what is your greatest need? And you can imagine we're talking about millions of people enslaved, so the needs are incredibly great. But consistently we heard that the greatest need was employment, that if we can get people out, but if there's not sustainable employment opportunities, then about 70% to 80% get re-exploited. So we came back, and you can imagine now I had names and faces on years of prayer and just said, okay, God, what do you want us to do? And that began the journey of starting Polish Pearl. And then we've been in Fredericksburg for about 3 years now. My husband's the GM of the Route 17 Chick-fil-A. Love this area. And we're lamenting not having a tea room, but also as we kind of settled here for the longer term, we were looking at how do we express God's heart for deliverance and justice and do that in our local community, both not only bringing awareness, but an opportunity to combat this, as well as kind of raise up a modern abolition society. And what does that look like on a local level that can also make an impact globally? And so that was kind of the start of Freedom Society, looking at how do we bring more freedom products into this expression locally and create a space where we can gather and make an impact and begin to take a public stand against injustice.
So one question that I do have then, just because I know that what you've mentioned is the areas over in India that you are serving, knowing that there is an issue here in America as well, and even here locally within our own communities, what is Freedom Society and Polished Pearl doing to also help raise awareness here in this area? And any of the work that you're doing, does any of that influence local awareness and local efforts to also help end it here?
Yes. So we are doing both. And that's what we're really excited about with having a local expression, is to be able to have those conversations. And really kind of that whole idea of an abolition society was really about that, like to be able to look at both locally what's going on. So we're beginning to host some events and connect with local organizations that are combating human trafficking on lots of fronts, as well as we carry about 16 Freedom Business brands in our shop, and several of those are Freedom Businesses in the U.S. that are helping to employ survivors and helping to restore survivors. So we're really excited about being able to do both, being able to look at our local community, but also just as God does, that we see our brothers and sisters around the world as those that are valuable. You know, when we look at statistics, it's absolutely happening here in the U.S., but not even close to the scale of other places around the world. So getting to do both, have that local expression where we're bringing awareness of the issue globally, as well as looking at how do we work alongside local organizations and help bring awareness locally and stand against it locally.
Amazing. And can I ask you, what kind of doors have you seen God open during your venture into really trying to help raise awareness and make a difference in the lives of so many women?
It's been an amazing journey. Polish Pearl, we just celebrated 9 years, and both still have, an entity in the UK as well as here in the US. And just seeing God do so many miraculous things over those 9 years. But I think some of the things that have really stood out is, one, the relationship of and the more businesses that are being raised up all over the world, and God's desire and heart to not only become aware, but to see his children begin to be agents of his deliverance around the world. And so about 5 years ago, we started, it's essentially kind of a trade association for businesses that are all combating human trafficking. And we now have about 125 member businesses in 28 countries. And most, just watching God multiply this work and these just really amazing displays of his heart. You know, we care about this issue because he cares about this issue, because he is the one who sets the captives free, and that is his heart's desire. And locally, we've had just really tremendous support. It's been a really kind of interesting season in that we kind of opened the gift shop portion the end of November, and then just got the tea room open kind of mid-February, and obviously have had the shutdown of restaurants and all that recently. So it's been an interesting adventure for certain, but we've seen God just supernaturally provide just really wonderful support in our community. We're looking forward to being able to host teas again. And we've been doing things like freedom celebrations and helping people celebrate graduations and birthdays and Mother's Day and bring freedom at the same time. So it's definitely been a season of creativity. And we've also, been looking for opportunities to be able to stand with the freedom businesses that we carry. Of our 16 freedom businesses that we carry products in our shop, we've had 5 of those are located in the red light areas of Calcutta, which have not only experienced an extended lockdown, but just last week experienced a cyclone that went through Calcutta. So we've been doing kind of a fundraiser and standing with them and helping to send what we can to help them be able to reach out and feed their communities that are not just experiencing hardship, but literally, quite literally starving in this season. And so it's been a blessing and a challenge, I think, for all of us as believers to live in this season, not only while we're experiencing some challenge personally, but where we're aware of and in touch with the pain and the challenge globally. And how do we weep with those that are weeping? How do we stand against injustice in the midst of this season and continue to represent God's heart? But I believe as we do that, he just tremendously not only provides, but just blesses that work. And so it's been a real blessing. We've been doing just Facebook Lives of a cup of prayer every day on our Facebook page for Freedom Society, and have just really seen people in the community reach out with prayer requests and sharing that. So just those, the moments where things are the darkest that we have the opportunity to shine our light even more brightly. So I'm grateful for that, even in the midst of this very challenging season.
And I know that as you were I have to assume that as you've been, you know, going through all of the work that you do to influence and have an impact on these women, that you've learned a lot just about the issue of human trafficking. Mm-hmm. So can I ask you, do you have any statistics you can share, or even just any general knowledge about how do women get stuck in this? How does it happen? How mm-hmm. prevalent is it? I would say more so locally than internationally. How prevalent mm-hmm. is it? Because I think that there's a lot of people who are so far removed. If you don't know anybody who's specifically impacted yeah. by it, it's so out of sight, out of mind.
So in a couple of ways in the U.S., so we look at, and again, because this is an illegal trade, statistics are, you know, just so you know, statistics are a bit of a guessing match. But from the national hotline here in the U.S., which would be wonderful to share, I think, as part of this. But basically, we estimate somewhere around 300,000 trafficked a year in the U.S. And that's both internationals being trafficked into the United States as well as those being trafficked within the U.S. You know, I have an opportunity a lot to have conversations. And sometimes I say we have just enough awareness to not necessarily be effective in combating things. Oftentimes when we share statistics or situations, we can move into fear as opposed to action. So I always really encourage people that as we talk about this issue, you know, that we take those kind of baby steps. So in the United States, primarily those that are most vulnerable are those that do not have people looking out for them. So I often say I'll have mothers who are really afraid that their kids are just going to get snatched from their front yard. I would not say that it never, ever happens, but primarily it is children in foster care. It is children who have, you know, multiple people working in their home, and not even necessarily just children, but young adults. A lot of grooming that happens online. We just this week, I participated in U.S. Chamber of Commerce as a human trafficking task force, and I serve on that task force. And we were discussing, one, the anticipation because of the pandemic of way more people that are vulnerable to human trafficking. So globally, you know, as well as in the U.S., you have people that don't have people looking out for them, and poverty as two kind of major contributions to what makes people vulnerable to human trafficking. In the U.S., there's definitely labor trafficking, but I would say the vast majority is online exploitation, and a lot of exploitation on our highway system through truck stops. And those kind of means we also see an uptick in human trafficking around major sporting events or gatherings of major people, so of lots of people. But in this season where gatherings have pretty much ceased, the major concern is online. And so we're really encouraging parents that the whole idea of your child or your young adult having privacy needs to not be a thing. You need to be discussing with your children and aware of what they're doing online and who they're communicating with. And so a lot of times, even with children that go missing, it's somebody that's been talking to them online and they show up to meet them. So it's really important that we be aware of that, especially as our kids have moved online that much more with schools being closed down, that we're involved in that process. And so, and again, not out of fear, not assuming the worst of our kids, but just being aware of that. And I really encourage, especially as believers, that we look out for those that are vulnerable in our communities, that we look out for and come alongside the foster families in our communities, that we look out for kids that we know maybe are home alone a lot, that we begin to adopt those in our classrooms and in our neighborhoods that just need some extra love and need someone looking out for them. So that is definitely one of the ways that you can combat it. If you even suspect something, it's always a good idea to call the hotline. You know, so often we've seen several cases across the U.S. that's just after the fact, you know, neighbors going, yeah, I saw something suspicious. I didn't do anything about it. It's just always better to, if you suspect anything, to go ahead and make that phone call. That can make the difference. So any situations where someone, where their free will could be not in place, like they don't know where they're living, anything where you see some suspicious behavior around, like someone controlling someone, you spot someone in a home that you don't see coming in or out regularly, those kind of situations and are just important to report. So I think we can absolutely look at those kind of things, and definitely in this season, adopting those in our neighborhoods as well as being aware of what's happening online are really important.
And then you talked about the importance of reporting. So how does one go mm-hmm. about reporting behavior?
So there is a national hotline that's actually located, the team that run it are located in D.C.
Gotcha. And that is 888-373-7888. That's the National Human Trafficking Hotline, 888-373-7888.
Literally, you just will call that and report it. And you can absolutely as well call 911, but it's really great when it's a particular to human trafficking, it's actually helpful to call the human trafficking hotline rather than it kind of just going into a sea of other requests in 911. So if you have access to that, great. If you don't have the hotline, what I just say to people is I've got a picture of it on my phone and save it on my phone. So yeah, just keeping it somewhere handy where you've got it saved in your contacts on your phone. And once we share this, that you've got it handy and can make that phone call. But like I said, you can always call 911 as well and just share what you've seen or what you suspect.
And in your work, have you had the opportunity to see success stories of women who have come out of it? What is it like for them on the other side? And I don't know, I think I'm just most interested in hearing, have you had a chance to interact with the women who've been able to come through?
Yes. And I would say, that's been one of the greatest privileges of my life, really. You know, I'm so grateful to the Lord because the just amazing giftedness, resiliency, just so love of the Lord that is displayed through these women is just a challenge to my heart. And it just it has been an honor to know them, to represent them, to walk alongside them. You know, we all need the Lord, and it has been really kind of so impactful to watch God heal something that just is just such deep brokenness, and yet knowing that there's really nothing that God can't heal and deliver us from. But it is also just heartbreaking, and so it is one of those things that, you know, I think, even as we look at statistics like, you know, 42 plus million people globally enslaved, it can be very easy because it feels overwhelming to shut down our hearts. And so I consider it a privilege to have, like I said, names and faces on my prayers. And I think it's really important when we talk about this. And it's why I say why we use words like survivor instead of victim. They were victimized, but by God's grace have overcome. And it's recognizing, you know, that could have been me. And these are really wonderful people. So I just feel such a blessing to and an honor to know them, to walk alongside them, to watch God redeem and heal. And even that they often have a passion to see many others set free, and God used them to do that as well. And so I can't really, as much as I've walked this road now alongside them for so many years, I really still can't imagine like walking through it. And so I just feel like it's an important thing that we, you know, I love in the scripture that the Lord says, you know, that the meek will inherit the earth, that the poor, the Sermon on the Mount is all about God overturning this reality. So it's not about those of us that have been invited by the Lord into combating this. It's like, it is a privilege to watch God just begin that overturning process. And I often say, like, Lord, I didn't have to live through those things. So I'm looking forward to the day. I might have the shack on the outside of heaven. I just want to be up close and personal when you crown these women, because they have endured so much and yet they continue to love him and love others. And it's just such a blessing to know them. I think, you know, for those of you locally, we just want to invite you to be part of this and really what it looks like to practically take a stand in this day and time. And so not only in terms of protecting your family, but, you know, when we look back in history and those that chose to take a stand against slavery and practically combat it. And so many believers were part of the, you know, the abolition movement of the past. And we need that at a whole nother level today. And not just in terms of abolition, but standing against injustice in a very practical way. And so we're looking for ways to do that locally. And we just want to invite you to be a part of that, to recognize we all have a part to play, to display God's heart as a deliverer. And so we just want to invite you to be a part of that. And that expression, we're just creating a place for that expression here locally. But we invite you wherever you are, wherever you might be listening, to look for ways to display who God is in this season as a God of justice, and to take practical steps to not only communicate that injustice, but actually to stand against it.
Now that things are reopening and, you know, we're able to come and visit and help Freedom Society, what are some of the things that people can find in your downtown Fredericksburg location?
Yeah, so we have had a really fun season of kind of figuring out how to basically be able to still invite the community in and do that safely. So our dining room is open. All of our tables are socially distanced. Actually, we had a lot of room in between our tables anyway, so that actually wasn't really a big deal. And so we're, you know, being safe with masks and not cleaning and all of those things. But you can come in and you can have lunch. You could just have a baked good and a cup of tea, or you can also do a high tea, and we just ask for an hour's notice. So anytime that we are open, and currently we are open Wednesday to Saturday from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. So anytime that we are open, you can come in and either have lunch or have a cup of tea or even have a high tea.
Perfect.
And so that's one thing you can do. And then we have our products in the front. They're all made by survivors of trafficking. So we have all sorts of fun goodies that you can get for yourself or for others as well.
Perfect. And then while you're there, like, is it possible to get information about Freedom Society? Like, are there ways to find out even more about what the organization is doing? Is that type of information available there?
Yes, we have some information in store, but we're also doing online events. We're just starting this next week a series where we're going to have a different Freedom Business Leader on our Facebook Live every week, and we'll be highlighting different information on human trafficking. So even if you can't come into the store, those will actually be Facebook Live events. So if you want to follow us on Facebook, we do prayer times on there, and we'll be doing live events, but we'll also have a presence here, but we recognize, you know, we're limited in that and not everybody can make it out to restaurants yet. So we wanted to make those available as well.
Perfect. And then proceeds of the store, they do benefit Freedom Society?
So yes. So the proceeds of our store basically kind of happen and go in two directions. So one, just the sale of Freedom product helps to employ survivors, because all of our products are made by survivors. They get paid well to make those things. And so every purchase that you make in our gift shop is automatically blessing survivors of human trafficking. Our tea room, we take profits from our tea room and we give those back into the different businesses and organizations that we work with, in particular aim that at children survivors or survivors, children of survivors, to make sure that children are able to go to school and have opportunities. So so that is what we do. We've done a couple of fundraisers even during this COVID season in terms of just aiming that directly at different needs that are out there in terms of seeing people in red light areas around the world and different needs that are out there. And we'll continue to highlight those kind of opportunities as well as continue to host events both online and in-store that we'll have with local anti-trafficking organizations as well as businesses and organizations around the world.
Beautiful. Well, Nicole, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for tuning in to this week's Community Matters. As always, you can find the audio of these right on our website, WPER.org. And we hope to see you again next week.